International Raceway today for the third jewel in auto racing's triple crown of 500-mile races. All of the top drivers are here, including six former Indy winners, Bobby and Al Unser, Mario Andretti, A.J. Foyt, Gordon Johncock, and this year's champion, Johnny Rutherford. These drivers will be competing for $400,000 in prize money, making this the second richest race of the USAC Championship Circuit, second only to Indianapolis. At Indy this year, Johnny Rutherford won almost $250,000. To find out how this success, and perhaps even the tensions of this success, have altered his life, we're going to be talking with Johnny's wife, Betty, to find out what it's like to be the wife of the famous driver. Also today, from beautiful Acapulco, you'll be seeing some of the world's greatest daredevil divers going from incredible heights off the cliffs of La Quebrada into the churning waters of the Pacific Ocean. So it's auto racing and cliff diving today on ABC's Wide World of Sports.
Start your engines! You know.
Tony Holman, the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, is one of the honored guests of Pocono today, and he has just given that exciting command to start engines. And the roar is deafening as some 25,000 horsepower is turned loose in the atmosphere. And it's a smiling A.J. Foyt in car number 14, starting well back in the field, middle of the 10th row, 29th starting position. He doesn't like that. He likes to be up front. This is the second row, all former Indianapolis winners, Gordon Johncock, Johnny Rutherford, Al Unser on the outside. Johnny Rutherford starting in the middle of the second row. Remember, Indy, he started in the 25th position, still won the race. The question is, can A.J., starting so far back, win the race that he won a year ago? We'll soon find out the answers. It's a perfect day for racing as the cars pull out behind the pace car for the parade lap. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Fleming, and together with Chris Economaki, we'll be calling the Schaefer 500 here at the Pocono Raceway today. And it's a star-studded field that this crowd of 100,000 has turned out to see. 26 of the drivers who started at Indy are in the starting field here.
We also have five former national champions in the field, including A.J. Foyt, Mario Andretti, the Unser brothers, and Roger McCluskey. And you'll recall, it was Roger McCluskey who ran out of gas last year on the last lap, and A.J. Foyt won the race. Fuel, of course, is important, so let's call in our racing expert, Chris Economaki. Chris, let's talk about the fuel they have less this year, and let's talk about the track.
Well, the fuel is a prime concern. The energy crisis has led to a formula that requires 1.8 miles per gallon. Several of the crew chiefs say they flatly cannot achieve this at racing speed. Some of them say they can, and some can, because Johnny Rutherford won at Indianapolis using that amount of fuel. The track itself is different than Ontario and Indianapolis. It's a triangular track, but each turn is a different bank and a different radius than the other, and each straightaway is a different length. So the cars are in a compromised setting. They're not right for the whole track. They're right for part of the track, and this makes it difficult for the drivers. Pit stops, we're going to see about 10 for each car that finishes the race, and the pits are going to be a busy and an important place.
Right you are, Chris, and now as the cars move down the backstretch, let's set the starting field on the pole. In the Olsen-eyed Eagle, Bobby Unser at 182.5 miles an hour. Steve Krzyzewski and Wally Dallenbach rounding out the first row. Then in the second row, it's Johncock, Rutherford, and Al Unser. And in the third row could be the rookie of the year, young Tom Sneva. Mario Andretti in the middle and Mike Mosley on the outside. And way back in the middle of the 10th row, A.J. Foyt. Earlier, Chris Economaki talked to A.J.
A.J., 29th place is a way back for an A.J. Foyt. How come?
Well, really, I felt that the qualifying was going to be very close, and I just took the liberal to lean the car down as much as possible, and we had a good lap going, almost 186 miles an hour, and just simply burn a piston. It was just my mistake, and there's nobody else to blame but myself.
A.J., you're a changed man. You've never admitted to mistakes, certainly before a camera before. Is this change going to make any difference in the way you handle the early laps? What are you going to do?
Well, naturally, you know, starting back this far, and I'm just going to have to be careful, you know, and try to work my way up as fast as possible, and hope there's no yellows all day long, but it's quite sure there's very possible there will be a yellow for maybe debris on the racetrack or something like that, and it let me play catch up then, and maybe we can run with them after the first yellow.
Now as the cars are forming up, let's take a look at the remainder of this starting field. Bobby Unser, car number 48, the pole sitter. It's up to him to form that first row, and everybody comes behind. Looks like a good start coming up, Chris.
Well, the start in Ontario and the start in Indianapolis were very safe. Everybody remembers Indianapolis last year, and they're safety-oriented.
And here they come by as starter Jim Malone has the green flag out. And the race is on. And look at the the spurt that Wally Dallenbach and Steve Krisloff have as they shoot by Bobby Unser and head for that first turn. It's Dallenbach into the turn first, then Krisloff, and then Unser. Around that 10-degree banking, and everybody gets safely through that first turn and down the head into the second turn.
I'm surprised, Bill, that Bobby let those cars get ahead of us. He usually races for the pole. There may be a reason. It could possibly be fuel.
All right, but whatever the reason, he's not going to let it last long, because there he goes by Steve Krisloff, and Bobby Unser is streaking now. That white car, ahead of the red car, is now in second place, taking aim on Wally Dallenbach, who has the lead in car number 40, and there the orange McLaren. That's Johnny Rutherford in fourth, and behind him, Mario Andretti, and there goes Johnny Rutherford into third place, with Mario riding very low below the white stripe, right behind Krisloff. He's going to try to take him for fourth, and he's got him. One racing here in the first couple of laps. And as the cars come down the main straightaway, it's Bobby Unser swinging to the inside, challenging Dallenbach for the lead. As they go into the first turn, it's Unser in the lead now.
That may have been a surprise for Wally, Bill. He veered away to the right. He shied as Bobby came through the inside. He maybe wasn't looking in his mirror.
Now Johnny Rutherford in third place is challenging Dallenbach, and he's got second place. Rutherford up from the fifth starting position is now in second spot. And look at Mario Andretti, the white car behind the red one. Mario Andretti moving up, and he's got third place. So it's Unser, Rutherford, and Mario Andretti, the first three cars now, with Dallenbach in fourth place. And as Bobby Unser comes by, remember this, no man has ever won two 500-mile USAC races in the same year, but Bobby could do it. He won at Ontario, and he qualified here at 182.5. Not quite as fast as the late Peter Revson, who set the record a year ago.
Almost as fast, Bill, but remember, the cars are not the same this year. They're using less fuel, therefore the engines are detuned and the wings are smaller, but they're almost going as fast. A tribute to the chief mechanic.
Two early casualties in the pits, Jerry Carl and Jan Oberman. But A.J. Boyd is running smoothly in car number 14. Look at him streak through the field. He's now up to 16th place. He's moved up 13 positions. Here are the leaders, Bobby Unser, Johnny Rutherford, and Mario Andretti has moved into the third spot. Those three, followed by Wally Dallenbach and Steve Krisloff. That's the top five now, as Unser is setting a blistering pace.
You know, Bill, the pace of the point battle is pretty hot, too. Bobby leads and Rutherford is second. And this 500 is the last big point race of the year. 1,000 points to win. And every driver wants a number one on his car. The winner of the championship will carry it next year. And this race will be significant in the final standing.
And a fellow who carried number one in his car 5 years ago, Mario Andretti, now has moved to the second place as he goes by Johnny Rutherford. It's Bobby Unser, Mario Andretti, and Johnny Rutherford, and they're not more than five car lengths apart in this 500-mile race. We'll be back for more from Pocono. It has come to Gary Bettenhausen, who apparently is out of the race in that car number eight. Roger Penske's McLaren Offenhauser has come into the pits. Gary ran only one lap at Indianapolis this year, has run only nine laps today. Now let's take a look at this unusual and unique track, the Trioval at Pocono, and to explain some of its vagaries, here is Johnny Rutherford.
I think probably you have a lot of good racetracks in Pocono, and it makes it tough because you have these three different situations. The racetrack is a trioval. You have different length straightaways and three different turns. You've got what I would consider the banking equal to the Texas International Speedway or the Michigan track down in turn one. So you have to kind of keep in mind the high bank aspect on your chassis, and then you go down a straightaway into a turn that is very similar in banking to the Indianapolis track. So you go from Texas to Indianapolis and then up another short straightaway into a turn that is very similar to the Milwaukee track. And Milwaukee is a flat mile paved racetrack, very little banking on the turns, and the turn three here at the Pocono International Raceway is the same way. It's very flat, and the only difference being that when you come into this turn, you're running maybe 30-40 mile an hour faster at the end of the straightaway entering this flat turn than you would be at Milwaukee.
In other words, the driver's got to change his thinking three times. What does the car want to do? Which turn does the car like best?
Therein lies the problem of Pocono. You have to make the car, you know, it's three different ones, so obviously it's very hard to make the car like all three turns. And you really, our philosophy is to shoot for the flat turn, the Milwaukee corner, so to speak, and the car will take care of itself in the other turns.
Now the leader, Bobby Unser, is getting plenty of pressure from Mario Andretti in car number five. Mario, taking the low route today, has really been thrilling this crowd.
Uncle Bill. Mario lives in nearby Nazareth, and he's got a summer place in the Poconos, and many of these fans are Mario.
And now Mario has moved to the inside, and he squeezes off Bobby Unser in the first turn as he's set up for that turn. Mario Andretti has taken the lead. He's got a slower car, number 63, Larry McCoy, ahead of him, but Mario has the lead, still staying below the white line. And he gets the number one signal from Parnelli Jones and Val Milicic.
A.J. Foyt, who started way back, he passed 10 cars in the very first lap. He's moved now to 13th place and is gaining. A yellow flag would really put him in contention.
There seems to be some concern in the pit of Johnny Rutherford about why Johnny has been slowing down. His wife, Betty, has been logging his times and has noted that John has been slowing down considerably in the last couple of laps. Right now, he's being challenged for third place by a car number 15, Al Unser. Two-time Indianapolis winner in 1970 and 71, now making his first serious pit of the afternoon as he slides by Rutherford in the first turn. Why John is slowing up, we don't know. It could be he's running a little low on fuel, Chris.
Phil, the routine pit stop will be coming up shortly, and it may be a handling problem. And if it is, a wing or chassis adjustment might just fix it.
So Al Unser is in third, and there you can see the relationship. He's about a third of a lap behind the leaders as Mario Andretti taking the low route once again, getting by a slower car. And he's followed by second place Bobby Unser, about five car lengths behind. Then Al Unser, Johnny Rutherford, and Wally Dallenbach. And into the pits is number 77, Salt Walther. Still the talk of the racing world about his great comeback this year. Back for more in a moment. A little bit farther now, he's in sixth place, trying for his third straight USAC championship win in a row. And of course, that's distressing to his wife, Betty. But you know, love is love, whether in racing or anything else. Boy meets girl, and they get married. Earlier, Chris Economaki talked to Betty about how she met John.
We met at Indianapolis Motor Speedway in 1963. I was a registered durst there and became interested in racing. And so on my days off, I would go to the track and watch him race. And he was there on his rookie test that year. And I happened to be standing at the fence, and he happened to walk by, and I got a wink and a wave, and we had dinner that night.
And you got a ring, and you got married.
Uh-huh, 2 months later.
So in the ensuing 11 years, you started a family. John the Fourth and Angela came along, and this year, John reached the ultimate goal of every American racing driver. He won the Indy 500. Betty, do you think it would have been as meaningful had he won in the early years of your marriage as it is now?
Quite honestly, I don't. I think that at that time, we were both young enough, and I think we would have enjoyed it, but I don't think we would have appreciated it nearly as much as we do now. We've already been the bottom route, and I think if you've been there, you kind of appreciate things a little more.
Well, we'll be visiting with Betty Rutherford a little bit later on in the race. Right now, Bobby Unser in car number 48, the Olsenite Eagle, is about 8 seconds behind Mario Andretti in car number 5. Mario, who had the lead in this race 2 years ago until the last 30 laps, locked up his brakes and lost the race. And now, slowing down noticeably is A.J. Foyt. Apparently something has happened to that Ford Coyote.
The word from the observers, Bill, is that A.J. grazed the wall, so he's in trouble.
A.J. Foyt in car number 14, who led at Indianapolis and dropped out with a broken gearbox at 142 laps, apparently is out of the race today, and that brings many of the fans to their feet. Now, coming into the pits is the leader of the race, Mario Andretti. This will be a very important pit stop for Mario. His crew waiting for him, and we'll put the clock on because right now it looks also as if Bobby Unser will be coming in, Rutherford will be coming in. Those cars are slowing down. Here comes the gurney car. That's Bobby Unser, car number 48. And also, Johnny Rutherford is into the pit area, and he'll be coming in right in front of us here.
No, Bill, the drivers are Rutherford, Andretti, and Bobby Unser have chosen the same lap to make their stop, so they're obviously getting identical fuel mileage, but Al Unser stays out on the track and goes into the lead.
That's an 18-and-a-half-second pit stop for Mario Andretti, who gets out very quickly. There goes Bobby Unser. He was about 18 seconds, but Johnny Rutherford is still in the pits. This is a long stop for John.
Well, they've made some adjustments on the car, but they're having trouble with the right rear wheel and getting it on. Dennis Davis, the crew chief, is working with the pneumatic wrench, and this is going to be costly.
A quick reminder here that Wide World of Sports will not be seen next week, so we can bring you the exclusive coverage of the final round of the British Open Golf Championship. Defending champion Tom Weisskopf will be playing next week despite a cracked bone in his wrist. He'll be joined by Americans Johnny Miller, Lee Trevino, Jack Nicklaus, so be sure to join us. And in the backstretch, slowing down is Al Unser, the current leader of this race. Car number 15, whether he's got a problem that can't be fixed, we don't know.
Probably fuel, Bill. These guys are stretching it. This new 280-gallon fuel allotment, they were talking about it before the race as being a problem, and here it may well be, taking the leader out of the race. And there goes AJ coasting behind the wall, and that puts him out of the race. For the third straight 500, the Gilmore Coyote goes to the garage area. Fastest in Ontario, fastest in Indianapolis, and fastest in practice here. And AJ yet to finish a 500. What a disappointing year for Foyt.
And smoke is belching from the rear of Jimmy McElree's Thermal King car number 45. It looks like the popular 46-year-old veteran is out of the race today with a blown engine. And the yellow is out. You know, we've been listening to some of the radio communications between the pits and the drivers. We've come across an interesting one between Dan Gurney and Bobby Unser.
The mileage is all right, but we seem to run out too soon. We're going to try and stretch it a lap each time. We cannot use all the fuel in the car. We can only use 26 gallons.
So apparently, Bobby Unser's car is not picking up 13 or 14 gallons that is in the tank. Al Unser getting that car restarted after running out of fuel. That is confirmed. He did run out of fuel while leading the race on the backstretch. So it's back to consult the computer and figure out why this high rate of fuel burn. While the yellow is out, we're going to take a short break to go to another event previously enjoyed on Wide World of Sports. We go to Acapulco for the International Cliff Diving Championship and Bud Palmer. Thanks, Bud. A little bit later on, we'll be returning to Acapulco for the final round of dives. Back here at the Schaefer 500 for Indy Cars, Mario Andretti still leading the race. As we approach the halfway mark, Steve Krisiloff in car number 60 is moved into second place. Gordon Johncock is third, and Bobby Unser is fourth. We have 19 cars still in the running at this point. And there seems to be a story developing down in the pit of Gordon Johncock. Let's go down to Chris Economaki.
Here's Gary Bettenhausen standing by in the STP pit. Gary, you going to relieve somebody?
Well, Gordy's a little bit sick, and we're not sure how he's feeling right now.
I see. So Gary Bettenhausen, whose car went out of the race earlier with engine problems, has moved over to another team, and that is allowed in this kind of racing, and he's going to stand by in case relief is needed.
Okay, well, Gordon Johncock, who won the Indianapolis 500 in 1973, has been suffering from a bit of the flu this week. So it may be that he feels a little bit weakened on this strenuous afternoon here at Pocono. Mario Andretti now moving into the pits. And that means that Steve Krisiloff from Parsippany, New Jersey, will move into the lead. Steve had his best start in a USAC championship race ever today when he was starting second, right next to the pole sitter, Bobby Unser. And Krisiloff, car number 60, flashes by the main straightaway ahead of Mario Andretti. But it's another quick pit stop for Mario. Less than 20 seconds, and he's out in row. Of the 14 drivers out of the race, such names as Al Unser, Roger McCluskey, Mike Mosley have retired, as has A.J. Foyt. And Chris is with A.J. now.
Well, A.J., you're out of the race with car problems. Specifically what?
Well, actually, part of the front suspension broke, Chris, going in what I call turn two. And went head onto the wall, and I rode the wall around, and I'm just lucky that it wasn't more dangerous than it was or hurt somebody else.
Well, we have yet another leader in this race as Gordon Johncock, car number 20, has taken the lead from his teammate on the Patrick team, car number 60, Steve Krisiloff, who has come into the pits. So it's Gordon Johncock, the 1973 Indianapolis winner, leading Bobby Unser. Here comes Bobby's white car number 48, the Olsen Knight Eagle. Past the home straightaway, he's about 12 to 13 seconds behind Johncock. And in third place at this point is Mario Andretti. But there is some concern in the Johncock pit about where Gordy is. We haven't seen him come around. Crew Chief George Bignotti questioning the lap keepers. And there he is in the backstretch. He's gone dead, apparently out of fuel. And we picked up a transmission now between Bobby Unser and Dan Gurney. Let's listen.
Bobby.
Well, those transmissions are absolutely right. Bobby Unser's in the lead. The yellow has come out now to tow Johncock back into the pits. And while the yellow is out, again, let's go back to Betty Rutherford. One of her comments on being married to a famous driver as she discusses her life with Chris Economaki.
Betty, we all know the racing is dangerous and men get injured and killed. John has been hurt twice seriously in his racing career. What does this constant specter of injury and death do to a racing family and your children?
If you think about it constantly, I think it could wreck a marriage. It could wreck the whole family. because you couldn't live with that kind of pressure all the time. And I know that at one point in our life, there was a series of accidents. It just seemed like every race we went to, there was a bad accident and someone hurt either really bad or someone killed. And I got to the point where I was thinking each race we went to, what's going to happen this race, rather than going with a good optimistic attitude. And I finally just had to have a talk with myself and decide that there was no point in worrying about things until there was something to worry about. And I've developed that now, and I go into a race thinking the best is going to happen and never thinking that the worst is going to happen.
Would you prefer that he quit?
I will be very happy when he does.
You discuss it?
Not really. He knows that I feel that way, but he also knows that I'll never, ever ask him to quit. I made that pact with myself many years ago when we married, because he was racing then, and I know that it's his life, and I know he would be very unhappy if he weren't in it, which would ultimately make me very unhappy, and we'd have a terrible, terrible family life. But I think that he'll know when he's ready to quit and leave it to his judgment.
I saw a story where it said you have a little private prayer, you say, before each race. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I have before every race that I've ever been to with Johnny. I've always said the Lord's Prayer, and then I have my own little prayer that I add to it, asking for the safety of everyone in the race, and that's all I ever ask for, is that the race be a safe one.
Some sincere and poignant comments from Betty Rutherford, the wife of the Indy King, Johnny Rutherford. And now Gordon Johncock getting a push from the crew members as he comes down. He was towed in here, run out of gas. And let's go down to Chris Economaki, who is standing by in that pit. And also standing there, I see Chris, is Gary Bettenhausen.
Okay, here they are in the pits. Johncock and Bettenhausen are signaling one another. It appears that Johncock feels well enough to continue. The problem now is to get the car filled up and get the engine started. It's bone dry. Up to some trouble down here. They want to top it off to get the crossbow tank filled up, but apparently they have now as Johncock pulls out.
And there you see the standings, and 29-year-old Jimmy Carruthers, the former USAC midget champion, has moved into fourth place. We'll be back in just a moment. Back to racing in just a moment, but first I'd like to say a word about next week. ABC's Wide World of Sports is going to give way to another golfing classic. Our annual coverage of the British Open Golf Championship to be played this year at the Royal Lytham and St. Anne's course in England. Of course, ABC will be there with our commentators Chris Schenkel, Jim McKay, and Dave Barr. So be sure to join us next Saturday. That's for the final round of the British Open Golf Championship, 4:30 Eastern and Pacific Time, and 3:30 Central Time, here exclusively on ABC.
Dan Gurney is on the radio again with his driver, Bobby Unser.
This race is going to be a mileage contest. Mileage contest, Bobby.
Going on, Mecca?
Yes, you get good mileage.
That's a safe statement. Am I going to make it? He said, yes, if you get good mileage. The question, of course, seems to be, Chris, are they still not picking up the fuel, the bottom 13 gallons, so to speak, in that 40-gallon tank?
According to Unser, that is not coming out as it should, and more than that, they're burning more fuel than they should. They are having a problem.
And Mario Andretti slides to the inside and gets around Steve Drisseloff. And so Mario has regained second place and now sets his sights on Bobby Unser, who's leading this race with Drisseloff third. In fourth place is Jimmy Carruthers, and in fifth place is Wally Dallenbach as they head down the backstretch. And don't forget, Wide World of Sports will not be seen next week because of our final round coverage of the British Open. We will be back in 2 weeks with our live coverage from Milwaukee of the North American Boxing Championships. And right now we've got another yellow, car number 89, John Martin, slowing down on the backstretch. And that is going to cause a tremendous run off the pits here. And here comes Mario Andretti, Bobby Unser is in, Jimmy Carruthers is coming in, Wally Dallenbach is in, everybody hitting under the yellow.
Okay, Bobby Unser gets a break here. He needs to stop more often because of his fuel problem, and it's a break for Johnny Rutherford, who calls up some of the interval he's lost.
I think that's an important thing to bring out, Chris, that here, unlike Indianapolis, that you can close up under the yellow. It looked like they had a little fire there in Mario's car.
Well, that's right, and that's dangerous. They've got a problem there. This is costing Mario valuable time. Johnny Caples goes down to see what it is. And hanging on back there, they do have a problem. And Caples looks like he's burning. They're putting the fire on, the extinguisher on there. And Johnny Caples is still holding on down there.
Results, a lot of excitement in the Mario Andretti pit, but it looks like they have the car started. He'll be back out running, but what a jumble in the standings. Dallenbach is now taking over the lead. Bobby Unser is second. Jimmy Carruthers third. Andretti will be fourth. Rutherford fifth. And Krzyzlov sixth. That's at the 300-mile mark. Wally Dallenbach has the lead, but closing in very fast on him is Bobby Unser in car number 48. It's car number 40. Wally Dallenbach being passed now by Bobby Unser. So it's a new leader as they jockey back and forth. And this leaves George Bignotti saying, what happened? As they come down the home straightaway, it's Unser in the lead. But Dallenbach has far from given up as he challenges now and regains the lead.
You wonder why Bobby Unser does that, Bill. With the fuel problem he has, you'd think he'd be content to sit behind Dallenbach until it meant more.
37-year-old Wally Dallenbach from East Brunswick, New Jersey, a very popular Garden Stater. He had good luck in Ontario when he finished sixth, the race which Bobby Unser nipped Al Unser by about a foot. But he had tough luck in Indianapolis, and he finished only three laps before mechanical problems forced him out of the race. Now Johnny Rutherford in that orange McLaren, currently running in fifth place, closing up on Bill Simpson in car number 18. That's the American kids racer dedicated to the youth of America, driven by Bill Simpson. Rutherford in fifth place. After a little bit of handling problems earlier, he is running well now. And now Simpson is slowing down and smoking. The engine is blown, and there is Mario Andretti into the wall. Andretti coming right behind Simpson, apparently hits the oil slick. Mario is into the wall, a little bit of flame at the back of the car. The yellow caution light is out. Mario is out, standing on the left front, trying to get over the retainer wall, and he falls over the wall.
Well, that's the last of the super team cars. First, it was Gian Ackerman out on the first lap with overheating, and Al Unser went out, and now Mario out in a crash. We hope he's okay.
Mario Andretti, second only to A.J. Foyt in career victories. He has 32 USAC championship victories to his credit. He's raced well here at Pocono in the past. In the inaugural race in 71, he was fourth, finished seventh in 72, and again last year. And, of course, the yellow caution is out. It looks like it's going to be a long one as the crowd anxiously awaits word on Mario. And the medical team is over there. He is okay. He is walking toward the service vehicle. Okay, we're glad to hear that. Well, we'll be returning here to Pocono very shortly, but now let's check in once again with Bud Palmer and Acapulco for more cliff diving.
Thank you very much, Bud. We're back here at Pocono Raceway for the last leg in USAC's Triple Crown of Racing. The man who won the first leg, Bobby Unser, has the lead right now in the final leg. If you recall, in Ontario, California earlier, he nosed out Brother Al by a second. Then he lost, of course, to Rutherford at the Indianapolis 500, finishing second. But right now, car number 48, Bobby Unser in the lead.
But let's not lose sight of the fact that Johnny Rutherford has done a very skillful job of weaving his way back up. That's how the cars stand right now. Let's get a report from Chris Economaki on the others.
Well, it was 19 out, including Sam Sessions, Dick Simon, Bob Harkey, George Snyder, Jim Herdeby, Mike Mosley, Wayne Carter, Salt Walker, and Tom Bigelow.
There's still some anxious figuring going on in Bobby Unser's pit. Dan Gurney and Don Markman are trying to figure out if Bobby can make it with the fuel. It's been a real stickler of a problem here this afternoon, and of course it's manifesting itself right now as we get down to the closing moments of this race. And now let's go down and hear from Mario Andretti. Chris Economaki is with him in the pit area.
The stories this year and last have always been tough luck, Mario, haven't they?
Yeah, I'm even tired of hearing that.
What's this time?
Well, I was coming up on Bill Simpson, and he blew the engine just immediately in front of me in the middle of the corner. And that's it. I just spun. The back end broke away violently, and I just spun.
How do you think you would have done had that not happened?
We'll never know, but the car was really working nicely. We had a slight problem with the injector, but it was very rich. We really had a hard time keeping it running and during pit stops, but... other than that, the car was really working beautifully. It was, you know, prepared nice, and I was very happy with it. I think we'd have been in pretty good shape.
Mario, when you go to bed at night and think about all these years of bad luck, what do you think about it?
Thinking about all the money I'm losing.
And now Bobby Unser pulls into the pits, and Johnny Rutherford flashes by in the lead. Johnny Rutherford has taken over the lead as Bobby Unser once again comes into the pits. He's going to get rubber on the right rear and also going to get as much fuel as he can possibly get in that tank.
Well, it's been exciting both on the track and in the pits. USAC races coming up, exciting races, sprint races at Rossburg, Ohio, Saturday night, July 13th, late finals at Milwaukee, Sunday, July 14th, and twin 200s for championship and stock cars at Michigan International Speedway, Sunday, July 21st.
All right, thank you, Chris. We pick up Johnny Rutherford as he has taken over the lead with Bobby Unser's pit. And here's trouble. Tom Steve is into the wall at the first turn. Car number 24, one of the seven rookies in the race, Tom Steve, a 25-year-old ex-school teacher, has gone into the wall. The yellow flag is out. Steve is walking around. He's okay, but this is going to cause some kind of strategy in the pit area. So let's go down to Team McLaren and find out exactly what they plan to do with Rutherford.
What about stopping right now, Wainer, on this lap? What about Bobby? Does that let him?
Bobby's very senseless, isn't he?
Oh. Yelling doing us any good as we were leading the race. The pace car's got him. Do we bring him in now?
Yeah, he got him. So somebody comes in front of him. No, wait a minute.
Some indecision here now. Teddy Mayer on the left, Tyler Alexander on the right.
Behind Bobby, though.
Well, he's going to no matter what he does. Right?
Wait a minute.
John? You know, it just goes to prove that everybody's human. Here's one of the most successful racing teams in history in Formula One and Indianapolis and Can-Am. And yet, between the two men who are masterminding these cars, they still have a difference of opinion. Dallenbach has come in. Chris Olof has come in.
We blew it.
Apparently, Alexander feels that they should have brought Rutherford in. Well, Dallenbach is getting fuel. Rutherford is still out on the track.
What about Solenbeck? He just came in. Now he's going to be... No, that's okay.
Tyler Alexander has a good point because he realizes that Johnny Rutherford will now be behind both Bobby Unser and Wally Dallenbach. And not only do they have a strategy problem, but it seems they have a bit of a technical problem. Johnny has been calling to the pit area on his two-way radio, but they haven't been able to hear him. And so he wants to let them know... Apparently something. Let's listen. Oh, he needs a left front tire.
Okay.
I need a left front.
He needs a left front. The question is, will they be ready for it?
To me. I need a left front tire, Tyler. Tyler, do you copy me? Did you hear me?
Just then I couldn't hear you before.
And here goes Bobby Unser by. He's taking the lead. And Wally Dallenbach is also out.
I copy now, John. I never heard a word you said until you got right here and stopped. Now I copy.
Well, set your radio from now on.
A little bit of advice from driver to crew chief. As Johnny Rutherford now goes out on the track, he'll be in third place. Back in a moment. Unser's pit. We've been listening to another conversation that could have a bearing on the outcome of this race. Chris Economaki's there.
This is Dan Gurney, the owner of Bobby Unser's car. The scoreboard shows it leading this race, and they have 8 gallons left to go 100 miles. Is that right, Dan?
Well, 8 in their tank plus what we have in the car, which is probably 36 usable if we can pick it up.
How far will that take you?
I figure we have roughly 40 usable gallons to go 40 laps, which is 100 miles, and that's 2.5 miles a gallon, which we can do it, but we have to go awful slowly.
Who will get the blame for this?
Well, ultimately, I will, but we had a great deal of difficulty, and it was just one of those things. Shall we blame the Arabs for the fuel crisis? I don't know.
Well, the green is out, and the fact remains that Bobby Unser is going to have to go about 150 miles an hour, or about 30 miles an hour slower than he's been going in order to let that fuel let him finish the race. The question is, will he do that, or will he go until it just runs out? He's got the lead right now. If he could do it, and there was a yellow, a prolonged yellow, it conceivably could happen that he could finish the race and still win it. However, Wally Dallenbach closing in on him, and Wally Dallenbach goes sliding by Bobby Unser. Dallenbach in the lead, Unser in second place. Then two slower cars, then comes Johnny Rutherford. The two slower cars, incidentally, are John Cock and Chris Olof, and they are both a lap down. So even though Rutherford is running fifth on the track, he is third in the standings, and Jimmy Carruthers is now fourth. Chris Olof has now passed Gordon Johncock, So Krisloff has moved into fifth. John Cocky is sixth. But we're watching Wally Dallenbach, and Wally has a great many rooters out here today, all from the New Jersey area. And they certainly must be happy with the way things have been going for the last couple of moments, with Dallenbach in the lead, Bobby Unser second, and now Johnny Rutherford, who has already passed John Cock, goes by Krisloff. So Rutherford is now running third on the track and in third place.
That little battle between John Cock and Krisloff was interesting, Bill, because two of them and Wally Dallenbach are all teammates, yet they run their own races.
So Rutherford now moving up very fast on the tail of Bobby Unser. And it wouldn't surprise us at all to see him just go blowing right by him down this main straightaway, because Bobby has been slowing down considerably, possibly with that fuel problem confronting him, as he well knows. Now here goes Johnny darting around with that nimble car of his, and he now is in second place chasing Dallenbach.
Now Wally starts his stretch stride. This is a big one for him. It's near his hometown, and he's playing it this way, and he'll be on it right to the floor all the way. That's Lee Brayton on the inside. He's been a movable chicane all day long, running at about 80 miles an hour. Why they haven't black flagged him, we'll never know.
Well, another reminder here that next week, Wide World will not be seen, so that we can bring you the final round of the British Open Golf Championship around the Royal Lindenman St. Anne course in England. That's at 4:30 Eastern and Pacific Time, 3:30 Central Time. Wide World returns 2 weeks from today with the North American Boxing Championship. Now talk about a cheering section. Look at this one for Wally Dallenbach. Down there with them, amid all of them, is Chris Kotomaki.
And the queen of the Wally Dallenbach cheering section, Pepe Dallenbach, Wally's wife. What are you thinking about right now, Pepe?
Oh, I just can't wait till it's over, that's all. I'm not thinking about much except Wally.
Well, we all hope you have something to cheer about when it's over. Wally Dallenbach's lovely wife, Pepe, and many, many fans from his nearby home in East Brunswick. The Wally Dallenbach Fan Club right here, rooting for their hero.
Well, it certainly would be a very popular victory if the 37-year-old Wally Dallenbach should win this one, but he's got a lot of pressure on him now from Johnny Rutherford, who is right behind trying to win his third USAC championship race in a row. Coming around now is car number 21. That's driven by Jimmy Carruthers. Jimmy has passed Bobby Unser. That means the Carruthers is now running in third place.
He's quite a racer, Bill. 3 years ago, Jimmy's younger brother, Danny, won the National Midget Championship and then was killed. But it never let Jimmy deter him from his goal of being a top-line driver.
Jimmy, 29 years old, from Anaheim, California, chasing 37-year-old Wally Dallenbach, who has the lead right now and who's getting his strongest challenge from Johnny Rutherford, who's done one whale of a job of driving here today, coming from almost a lap back after some handling problems early, and he is up there in second place trying to put the pressure on Dallenbach. We might mention to you that the weather forecast was that we would have rain before the end of the race, but it's gotten very hazy, and it looks like Dallenbach is slowing down, and there is smoke coming from the back of his engine. Dallenbach, there you heard a transmission. That was from Rutherford, who said Wally's car has just broke. He's out of the race. So the man who was closest to the scene, Johnny Rutherford, who was right behind Dallenbach, saw it happen. And here is Pepe Dallenbach, Wally's wife, being consoled in the pits. Her husband had his car break down just 13 laps from victory here. What a heartbreaking thing it is to have happen. And Rutherford has taken the lead as Dallenbach continues to coast around to try to make it into the pits. And a contrast in emotions as Betty Rutherford has seen her husband take over the lead. And it's a dejected Wally Dallenbach that steers his car into the pit area. And of course, the crew is terribly disappointed also. And now Johnny Rutherford comes by the home straightaway. That means he puts an entire lap on the rest of the field. In second place now is Jimmy Carruthers. Jimmy Carruthers in car number 21 has taken over the number two spot, but he is a lap down to Rutherford. All Johnny has to do is just to keep that car running, and he'll have won his third straight USAC championship race and his second 500-miler of the 1974 year. And here comes Jimmy Carruthers in car number 21 in second place. Now let's go down to Chris Economaki, who has Wally Dallenbach.
Pepe, and a lot of other New Jerseyans are crying, Wally. What happened?
I don't know. The car is running beautiful all day long. And it's just coming down a home stretch here. I smelled smoke.
And it seemed like it dropped a cylinder or something. It didn't break anything, it just quit running.
Did you put the boost up?
We never had it up all the way all day. We had it up a couple times for the first of the race. Then we put it in a couple times on restarts, but generally speaking, we had plenty of fuel and we had plenty of horsepower left.
What about your radio?
It didn't work from about the 20th lap on, so I didn't have any communication other than the board. Otherwise, we thought we had it made.
How can you smile, Wally Dallenbank?
We'll be back next year. Hard one to lose, huh?
Truer words were never spoken. That could cost Wally Dallenbach between $80,000 and $90,000 just breaking down 13 laps from the end. So Johnny Rutherford in the lead. He's got a lap on Jimmy Carruthers. Gordon Johncock is in third place. Chris Aloff is in fourth place. And in fifth place, Bobby Unser. Well, during the course of this race, we've been listening to the comments of Betty Rutherford. And time now to have one last chat with wife of the famous driver who is leading this race, Johnny Rutherford.
What has 11 years of being married to a racing driver been like?
Just about every emotion you can imagine has been involved sometime or other. There's been a lot of disappointment. There's been a lot of happy times. It's been, for Johnny and I, a very close time. We've never, ever been to a point where we were far apart. And everything that's happened to us has brought us just a little bit closer together.
Johnny's a big man in this country now after his Indianapolis win. How do his children react to what he does?
They like to watch him, and I found out yesterday that at Milwaukee, little Johnny, there was a friend of mine was staying with him, and he was watching the race from the top of the motorhome, and a friend said to me after he spun, why, he said to little Johnny, you know, well, your dad just spun, he's out of it, you know, and little Johnny looked at it and he says, no. If he can come from 25th to 1st at Indy, he can do it here, too. And he did.
Penny, auto racing is a glamorous sport and historically attracts pretty girls. Not long ago, the pits were open to women, and many of these girls now have a chance to chat with Johnny. Does the availability of these girls affect your marriage in any way?
No, after 11 years, I really doesn't bother me at all because I'm with him and I know that they're going to look, and as long as he's looking at them, I'm there. I don't care.
What effect has it had on John?
I don't think any.
Well, Johnny, I've got to ask you. The pretty girls are allowed in the pits now, and they come around in bikinis and bathing suits, and we see them crowding around you. How do you handle this? Do you like it?
Well, I'd be stupid to say I didn't like it, Chris. It's part of it. You're going to have the girls coming around, and fortunately, I have a wife that is understanding enough, and we've been together for 11 years in racing now, and she's very understanding about this, and she still keeps an eye on me because it is pretty easy on the eyes around here, as you know, and it's enjoyable, but I'm happy at home.
11 years the wife of Johnny Rutherford. He's won the Indianapolis 500. What will it all lead to?
Well, I'm not real sure at this point. I hope that it'll lead to more success for Johnny, for Team McLaren, and I'm sure that our life is going to go on as it has. I don't think it'll change that at all. I think we'll just as happy today as we, you know, as we were yesterday, and I think tomorrow will be the same.
Well, they're just as happy, and they're going to be a lot richer because the white flag is out now for Johnny Rutherford, just 2.5 miles from better than $90,000 waiting for him as he goes around once more on this tri-oval at the Pocono International Raceway. You know, one word here I think we ought to mention about Rutherford, the fact that he commented before the race today that he's had a bit of a time trying to keep his concentration. He finally just decided to take no more phone calls. He wanted to concentrate these last 4 days on the automobile itself, and he certainly was able to put it together today. And now, the anxious moments, the last mile, as Johnny Rutherford, even though he got the easy sign from the pit crew, is still turning it on as he comes around the third and final turn. Everybody standing, the checkered flag is out, and Johnny Rutherford has won his third straight USAC championship race.
Another big one, Betty. Congratulations.
Oh, there's nothing greater than one, but two.
And coming across in second place
winning close to $50,000 is Jimmy Carruthers. In third place is Gordon Johncock. Steve Krissoloff will be in fourth, and Bobby Unser in fifth. And as far as the point totals are concerned, Bobby Unser still has the USAC Championship lead of 3,100 points. Johnny Rutherford, however, is only 350 points behind, 2,750. Back to talk to the winner in just a moment. Ahead for home, let's take a look at the first five finishers. And we might mention that Johnny Rutherford won $92,000 here today. Also, the Triple Crown this year goes to Bobby Unser. He won it in Ontario. He was second in Indianapolis. He was fifth here today. And now, let's go to Victory Lane and Chris Economak.
Well, congratulations, Johnny. The second and third one must come a lot easier than the first one.
Well, evidently, Chris, you know, by golly, this is fantastic to put three together in a row and two of them the major 500, you know, so everything's great.
Was it a tough one?
It really was. Early going, we had a situation with a car where it got a little bit loose, and I had to come in on the first pit stop and take it easy until then to get everything in order. But by golly, it all worked out, and we kind of ran everybody else into the racetrack, I guess.
Okay, thanks very much, Chris. And it was an exciting afternoon as Johnny Rutherford in car number three has won his second straight 500-mile race, first Indianapolis, and now here at Pocono. Now, don't forget, next week, Wide World of Sports will be preempted.